Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, we're starting this show off with audio problems. Can you hear me, Angela?
I don't know. Hello.
Okay, so here's the deal. Hello, everybody. This is Elizabeth from Best Ever You. If we play this show on replay, and we have all sorts of audio mumbo-jumbo because it sounds to me like I'm in a wave and a tunnel. So I don't know how this is going to play out live. We will retape, right, Angela? We'll
absolutely
redo the show.
Okay.
So we're gonna go for it, and we'll see how it turns out. Sometimes things turn out beautifully. I don't know. I am a mom of four children. They're all college students, and they're all home, and a couple of them have classes and homework, and everybody's on the internet right now, so I think it's slowed us down. So we just booted everybody off. But, Angela, so I watched another interview with you, and somebody's like, how do you say your last name? And I'm like, I think I got it, but it's Marimoja. Is that right? Did I get your name right?
Pretty close. Matamocha, absolutely.
Matamocha,
yes.
Right? I love your name. It's like happy emoji. Oh. It's so cute. I love your energy. I wish this was a video interview, actually. Your smile and your energy and some of the other things you've done just like completely inspired me. And I was going to ask you if you ever have time, maybe you could teach me how to do this via, video a little better or something so that it's pro. Everybody's like, you need Zoom. And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm, don't want to do my hair and makeup and all that crap. And so
I feel
I
you.
Video
I do.
For
I
me.
Really do.
Yeah. So
I understand.
Well, so I just watched your movie, Elevate, and it's do you call it a feature, a movie, or do you call it a film? That was my question, because I didn't want to screw that up, because I don't know the difference. Like, you're in this whole industry, and I want to make sure I get the wording correct. But Elevate is what I watched, and oh my gosh, my friends are in it. Brianna's in it, and Alexis is in it, and now you're in it, and you wrote it, and all this, wrote it, produced it, directed it. How cool are you all? Oh, my gosh. Yay.
I'm so glad you watched it. Yes.
Well, how did you come up with the idea for that?
It kind of happened over time, but the seed of the story came with the storyline that Brianna, who you know, is in. So that's the first thing I actually wrote. And we actually shot that as a short film. Then we later decided to expand it, and I kept writing more stories and just getting more ideas. And that is how the whole feature film finally came to be. But it initially started with the seed of the storyline between Brianna and my dad.
I love it. Now, so I don't interview a lot of people about movies, and I don't interview a lot of actors, and actresses. It's a lot of Brianna a lot. But so I might not ask everything perfectly, but I'm going to give it a shot here, because you've been on a number of things, a number of TV programs and, mega hit comedy. Like, you've been on How I Met Your Mother. I mean, people love actors and actresses and so forth. Is this something, I'm going to take this and turn it back in time. Is this something that you've always wanted to do? Have you always done this? What are other jobs you've had? All that good stuff. Just clue us in. What's your backstory?
Yeah, sure. Originally, I wanted to become a teacher. I wanted to become a kindergarten teacher. I think that idea came to me when I was 11 or 12. In the sixth grade, during one of our class periods, if we wanted to, we can go help out the kindergarten class. So I did that, and I just love kids. I'm very good with kids, and I always thought I wanted to be a teacher. So that's sort of how I started. But once I was in college, I went to Cal State Long Beach here in California. I ended up having to take an elective, and it was an acting class. And things just changed. Things just changed.
Yeah, I could see you being a teacher, actually, too. Can you still see yourself being a teacher, or are you just, no, that is not my thing?
You know what? A little bit, yes. That is kind of natural for me. With my podcast, I do try to teach and share other filmmakers and actors anything I can. But I think that's kind of a part of who I am. Is sort of a teacher, especially when I am around younger kids. It's just kind of a natural thing. Yeah.
Now, how do you know Brianna and Alexis? Are you guys all buddies?
So, yes. Brianna, my gosh, she's been one of my best friends for decades now. We worked together, gosh, maybe 25 years ago. I think it was about 25 years ago. Yes, yeah, we worked together. She was still brand new to L.A., and we were working at a call center, funny enough, as you know about Elevate, and we were raising money. We were raising money for nonprofits, Planned Parenthood, the National Historic Society, I don't know. But that's how we met. We met at this job that we did not love, and, yeah, the rest, as they say, is history.
I love her. She was one of the very first people. Oh, yeah, I love her. She's one of the very first people I met when I started Best Ever You and has been behind Best Ever You from, like, day one. Like, you can do it. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, sure you do.
I don't.
And then,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I know the film itself isn't meant to be funny or anything like that, but Alexis could almost get an Academy Award for that, for her performance in there.
Alexis, yes. She nailed that character. And it's funny you say that. It's not supposed to be funny. However, I'm happy with some comedy, and I think she definitely brought that to the film. And when we screened it at different festivals, I mean, audiences just loved her and laughed. So I think she's the comic relief that the film really needed. She was perfect. She was perfect.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. I'm like, oh, okay, there's, you know, and then you find out sort of like there's some darkness there, a lot of it,
yes.
And, you know, and so forth. But, you know, at first you don't kind of know what's going on, so you're like, okay, that's actually kind of funny in a way, you know, kind of thing, and then it all kind of weaves together, and you're like, okay, not so funny, but Alexis, that was really cute, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, she's a fantastic actor, fantastic, so talented.
Oh, yeah, she's so versatile, you all are. I mean, you did an amazing job as well, and that didn't look like that was, you know, a very fun part in a way.
No. Not at all, which is why I wanted to do it, you know. Those are not the kind of parts I normally get, so it was fun to play something different.
Yeah, you're so, like, uplifting and so smiley and so energetic. I'm like, boy, that is a stretch. That character was a stretch.
Yes.
A ginormous one, it seemed like.
Yeah, and as actors, I think we often want to stretch ourselves, and we do want to do something different. We don't want to play ourselves, you know. We want to try different characters. It's fun, you know.
Yeah. The whole thing, I mean, that must be really difficult to do. You know, I think probably overthink just about everything, but, you know, I think about even just writing that and then turning it into, you know, a film. Where, you know, it's not like I've written a book before. You know, I'm an author with Hay House and stuff, but I don't have to bring my words. I don't have to put pictures to my words. My words just are sort of the words. I mean, you try to when you're writing and so forth, but you don't have to give, like, directional, you know, actor direction and scene, what you want the scene to look like and all this stuff. Is that something that you studied? It seems like you have an enormous knack for it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I went to drama school. You know, I did go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I think any actor, you know, that goes through any sort of training, what you really learn about is the script, the story, the script. So I think a lot of us as actors have that training, even though we're trained as actors, but you learn about story. You have to. You have to learn about plot, about, you know, twists, about subtext, about intention, about inciting incidences. All these things that writers learn, actors not only learn as well, but we have to actually learn these things viscerally. You know, in our bodies, we have to understand story. So I think even though I didn't train as a writer or a director, my acting training absolutely informed me as a filmmaker.
Yeah, because how do you, just explain to my naive self, how do you do that? Like, how do you take the words and put pictures to them like that? I know that's a really rookie question, but I'm like, when I was watching that, I was studying going, okay, I don't understand how the brain can make this scene happen from like words on a paper. Like where was that set up? Like, you know, where are the elevators that you shot things in? Cause there were different ones, you know, where do you get all that stuff?
I think you don't really think about it as you're creating, or at least I don't. And of course, you know, everyone has their own process. There's not one way, but for me, when I write, I see who I'm writing. You know, I see the character, they're pretty clear, and they kind of speak to me, if you will. It might sound a little bit weird, but I can often have an idea for a character, and once I really start writing, they start to speak on their own, and I kind of just take dictation. I don't really plan out exactly what's going to happen a lot of times. Just sort of, the characters take a life of their own.
Okay, so do you have to, when you do a script, does it have to have all the instructions on it for what to do? Like, we're going to shoot in this elevator in this building, and the lights are going to be this, and the character is going to walk from here to there, or do you guys make that up as you go? Or isn't that in a script? I've never really seen too many scripts in my life, but isn't that all in there? Like, and
it's different. A lot of screenwriters are, you know, taught and trained to just tell the story and let the director fill in the stage direction, as it were, or come up with ideas for locations and setups. Because I'm a writer-director, I kind of do it as I write. And I don't know if that's the correct way, but that's the way I know how to, that's the way I've done it. I don't know any other way, because I've never really written without the intention of me directing.
I think that's what I'm trying to say too. Again, you know, I don't know what you know, and so it's probably kind of coming out choppy. But exactly the way I felt. I'm like, oh, she had this visually in her head, and she wrote it down and did it.
Yes.
And it
just
flowed.
You see certain
scenes.
Yes. There's one scene in the storyline with the mother, without giving anything away, but with the mother, father, and the son. And before that entire story was written, the scene where he leaves, the sort of goodbye scene, that's the first scene I saw. Before the beginning, before the end of the story, that's the first scene in my head. I saw the setup. I don't know why, but from there I knew, okay, now we're going to do this. So it's different, and it's sort of fluid, and it doesn't really always happen for me in one specific way. You know, sometimes I do have all the answers. Most of the time I don't. Then you get on set, and more answers are sort of revealed. Then when you start to edit with your editor, more answers are revealed. It's a fun process.
Well, and I really look forward to following you and your career even more, because you're really good at it. I mean, I didn't even look away from the screen even, you know, once. So, I mean, it made sense to me and flowed, and it wasn't, you know, how I'm going to guess, you know, you didn't have like Star Wars budget to make, you know, to make the film. So, and you couldn't tell really, you know what I mean? It wasn't all choppy and awkward or anything like that. You know how sometimes they're like, oh boy, okay, that's super low budget, you know, you're like, oh, you know, and but you couldn't, you didn't, I didn't get that feel. It was very, I don't know what the word is, but it was, it flowed or it was fluid or, you know, it didn't chop.
No, the acting has a lot to do with that. You know, I was so lucky to be able to cast such amazing actors. A lot of times in low-budget films, that's what can save them, is if the acting and the story is really good, then, you know, an audience can forgive, you know, not the highest production value, you know?
Got it. Yeah, and so you're winning some awards, or you've won awards. Tell us about those, because that's got to be pretty special.
It is. I'm always so grateful when anyone appreciates, you know, the work that we did. Always. It just means so much and sort of lets me know, like, okay, I'm on the right path. This is good. Okay, thank you. You know, it's just sort of a fun thing and a good feeling to know that someone else appreciated your work.
Well, a Best Director Award. So you won a Best Director Award from the LGBTQ Film Festival in London, right? And then you also earned an Award of Merit for Best Feature Film and Best Actress in a Leading Role from the Accolade Global Film Competition. And are you entering the film in more things? Is it getting more and more legs? And, you know, how can people see this?
Yeah, so our festival run is over as far as I know. Once we finish the film, we put it, you know, we submit it to certain film festivals. And then once the film gets distribution, meaning that the general public can see it, you don't have to go to a festival. You can watch it on iTunes, on Amazon. Once that happens, many festivals, they want brand new films that are not released yet. So I personally am not going to be submitting it to any more festivals. I'm very happy that we have distribution because now everyone can watch it from anywhere. The trouble with festivals is if someone wants to see it, they have to get in their car, go to the film festival, you know. So only a small group of people will see the film. But now that it's out, anyone can see it, and that's really exciting.
And where, so how do you see it? Is it like on Netflix or where do you go to watch it?
Yes, you could watch it on Amazon Prime if you're an Amazon Prime member, or you could just rent it from Amazon Prime or buy the DVD. You can also rent it or purchase it on iTunes. You can also on Google Play. They have a platform as well. Redbox Now, I believe. YouTube, it's also on. Vudu. There's all these platforms I'm learning about. It's very interesting.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's almost like my podcast. It, like, we air it live and then it goes out into the world in different places that, like, syndicate podcasts. And
yes.
it really gets it out there, and it's pretty cool. So good. Well, congratulations on that. I guess I won't tell you that my friend runs the Indiana the Heartland Film Festival then. Unless you want to do
the
one more.
The Heartland Film Festival. Is it called the Heart? Why does that sound so familiar to me?
Because it's probably one of the biggest film festivals in the Midwest. Her name is Amy Pawsak, and she helps with the Heartland Film Festival. Maybe I'll connect you anyway, just so you guys know each other for future things. Because she's got a movie. Yeah, she's a producer too, and she's got a movie called Grateful out, and it's making its way around the film festivals and winning all sorts of awards.
Wonderful.
And things like that.
Great
too.
Title.
So she's, you know, since I've known her, she put her mind to it. It's like
what she wanted to
do. And she fought through a lot of no's and a lot of things to get her stuff that she had in her mind made and done. A lot of naysaying stuff going on. Have you experienced that in your life? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. People, and I don't know what it is, but oftentimes people will tell you, you know, like, for example, with this film, what you can do, what you can't do. People literally told me, you know, if you do a film in an elevator, no one's going to watch that. You can't just do a whole film in an elevator. You can't do this. It's interesting
sure
to
can.
Me what people
you
will,
did it.
You know? It's like, well, maybe yeah. you can't, but I'll figure out a way.
Yeah. That was me when I said I want to quit my job and do Best Ever You and write a book and do all this stuff. And this one person called me and told me I was a washed-up soccer mom. And I'm like, well, none of my kids play soccer, as it happens.
Wow.
Yeah, washed-up soccer mom. Yeah, and I think I was all of, like, 35 at the time. I'm 50 now.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, just lit into me. And
wow.
Like, wow, yeah, you are. And it was a guy, and he was just super jealous of me being in the whole best space. Because he's like, I own all the domains. And I'm like, I don't really care. I own this one. So good luck to you, you know. But, you know,
yeah.
you got weird like that. Yeah,
exactly.
And so, yeah, you just naysayers. Yeah, okay. That's how that goes, right?
Yeah, you have to ignore them and, you know, bless them and move on, you know, move away from them. That's it, right?
Yeah. And then it turns out to be this amazing thing that you've done, and, you know, it's done. So Elevate, you know, it's done and out there and all the stuff. And, you know, that's the way it goes. You made a film, and there are elevators in it. And people said you can't, and you did. So, ha. Huh? But so tell me, see how that goes? Yeah, naysayers. Yeah, that whole self-confidence, believe in yourself stuff, and you tune people up.
Yeah.
And so with that said,
yes.
what makes you the most proud of this film?
A few things, but right now, only because it's just come out and I'm getting feedback and people are literally private messaging me, it's the people's response to it. I'm getting a lot of emotional responses, which I just love, you know. I love if I can make someone cry or someone just sort of gets an insight into a different sort of culture or character. I think it's people's responses. I love to move people. So if people are moved, I am moved.
Yeah, I think you definitely accomplished that in, you know, quantity. I mean, that's the whole thing were these kind of uncomfortable topics. Like, you're like, oh,
yes.
I knew I was going to be. You know what? It actually took me all day to sit down, focus, and watch it because I knew I was going to be uncomfortable. I had to set aside time to just be like, I got a little bit of my own pizza ordering going on. You know, we all have this crap, and it addresses certain things. And and it's head on. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to talk about this. How'd you pick the topics? I don't know if that makes sense, but how did you? Do you have certain things that didn't make the film? Did you have certain storylines that didn't make the film? Like, how did you narrow it down to what you did?
Yeah, I guess one thing that you just said about being uncomfortable, I think that's sort of the crux of it, things that make me uncomfortable, you know, because some of the things that we look at in the film are, you know, topics of homophobia. That idea makes me very uncomfortable. Racism makes me very uncomfortable. The way people judge overweight people or just judge people in general makes me very uncomfortable. So these things that made me uncomfortable, I just felt compelled to write about them. You know, I don't know if I thought, like, what am I going to write about? I was just compelled, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. And they all made me, those are topics that make me in my life uncomfortable too. So I sort of knew going in, I'm like, you know, this is going to be just exactly what I say. I keep saying kind of uncomfortable. But what I think you brilliantly put them all together and so forth. Like when I got done watching that just now, I said to my husband, I'm like, I'm really glad I watched that. She is brave. Those are my sentences. I'm really glad I watched that. She is brave.
Thank you. Thank you. I've heard that a couple times now. That makes me happy. Brave. I like that word. That's the kind of story that I like to tell. I like to make people uncomfortable because I think through being uncomfortable, it's kind of forces us to look inwards. You know, it's like, why am I so uncomfortable? What's going on, right? And I think that for many people, sort of the path to healing, we have to sort of feel through all that yuckiness before we can move forward, I think, you know, or that's been the case in my life. Just having to really look at some stuff that is uncomfortable. You know, I've judged people. I've had racist moments for me. I've done that myself. It's uncomfortable. It's like, oh my gosh, Angela, what are you thinking? What is that about? Let's look at that, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I do, yeah, completely. And I won't go into all my stories and things like that, but yeah, I think there's a lot of relatable things in this. Yeah, for sure. Have you done, okay, so again, pardon that I don't know everything, but have you done other movies? Are you doing more movies? Where are you going with this? Do you love acting? Now that you've written and directed things, do you love that or do you love acting more? Where are you at with everything?
Yeah, I love it all. I love it all. I am currently... did another short film that we just finished last month, so we're going into post-production. This is something called The Good Balloon, a really wonderful film that I was brought on to direct. I don't act in it, and I didn't write it, but I directed it. So I do love directing, and I've directed in the past. I started directing in the theater, because that's also where I started acting. So and I'm also writing, you know, so I love it all. I love writing, directing, and acting. And I will continue to do more of all of it.
I hope, you know, keyword directing because, you know, there aren't very, well, maybe there are more and more now, but directing and women is a field that we don't have a lot of women, you know, directors out there. Is that changing? Do you feel alone as a female director or are there more and more females directing because, I think that it just hasn't historically been something we've done.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a male-dominated profession, but I think there's a lot of initiatives in Hollywood, especially right now, with supporting female directors. There's a lot of programs. A lot of the networks are making a conscious effort to hire more women directors. So I think it's definitely changing. There's still a very long way to go, obviously, because, you know, historically it has been men, but more and more women, I think, are creating their own content and are getting more opportunities than, say, 10 years ago. But there's still room for growth, for sure.
Yeah, and you're right there, and you're good at it. You know,
it ought to be really fun
to see you get all of your Academy Awards for directing. I'm really kind of excited about it. I'm so glad. When you do that, can you be like, do I get to say, and I knew her, I know her, you know, that kind of thing. I can see it, though. You know, sometimes you just meet, you know, you hear somebody's voice or you see their work and stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, they're at the start of this. And you can just see it unfold. So I'm excited to see all that you do because you can see that you've got the vision.
Thank you. That means a lot.
When you watch something and you go, oh, okay, that sucked. This is good.
Thank you.
You know? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, oh, boy. Right?
Yeah, no, I do. And I have, you know, just so many people to thank, you know, and that's the beautiful thing that I do love about film is that it is such a collaboration. You know, whether you're the producer or director, it's a collaboration. You get to work with wonderful actors and wonderful crew members and camera guys and lighting guys. It's wonderful. I love the collaborative aspect of it. And then finishing the film and then working with a composer, then working with your editor. It's such a joy. It's so fun to have different creatives come in on the same story and kind of put their polish on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm learning through you a little bit here, but yes, I do know. And my dad, you know, it's really interesting. My dad is ex-Hollywood, and he just passed away in October. I always tell Brianna
right.
about
so
him.
Sorry.
And yeah, thank you. Yeah, he was a stroke survivor since 2004, and he really lived through having a stroke. But he, there's 11 of us kids, and he quit Hollywood to kind of raise us all. And moved us to Minnesota and did all these things. But he has a movie that's unfinished. It was called Chance. And he helped discover Bruce Davidson and other people. And he was friends with Nick Nolte. And, a ton of different things. So I have a little bit of it. But I always learned, I never really learned the directing and producing side from him. I learned the writing. So I love to write.
That's great.
I learned the writing and some of his computer graphic things and stuff like that he would do. And as much as I was willing to learn, because, you know, it's your parents, and you're like, you think you know everything. But he really was a talented, talented person, and he would have loved to have watched this. So he really, whenever I had a guest on, he always got behind everybody and cheered them on.
Absolutely.
You know,
whatever
they were doing, if it was a book or a movie or a baseball person or whatever, he always got behind all the guests, and he was pretty cool. So I'll give this to my mom. My mom will love this as well, and so you'll have my mom on your side. But they're all
so
in Minnesota.
Sweet. Wow.
So, yeah, thanks for listening to that, because it's neat to hear directing again and things like that. So. My dad would have maybe given me questions to even ask you, so I'm a little bit fumbling him without his, you know, movie expertise. But I do want to ask you. Yeah, I know. My dad was cool. I do want to ask about your writing, because sitting down and writing something from start to finish is a tricky, tricky thing. I know it. He knew it. I know you know it. And a lot of people struggle with that. So for all you writers listening out there, all you dreamers, you doers, you action people, all that stuff, we can have some wisdom here, because Angela knows how to take an idea and get it done. And I'm really curious what your process is for writing.
A big part of it for me, and I'm doing this right now, is accountability. Because left to my own devices, oh my gosh, I chicken out. I don't want to show anyone. It takes forever to finish if I just let it be. I need to have accountability. So this screenplay that I'm working on right now, I have a mentor that is going to read it, and we set a date. But I will tell you, I have pushed this date back twice now. So I struggle with it for sure. But this is the last time I'm not allowing myself, and at whatever stage the script is by that date, which is like in 2 weeks, that's it. It has to. So having a date, having someone that I know is going to read it, that gets it finished for me. That helps.
Yeah, I like hearing that too. That's wise advice, because a lot of us are so worried somebody else is going to see our typos or incomplete thought.
Totally.
Is that about judging?
Okay.
Or what is that? Yeah.
For me, it's not even so much the typos. And I'll even say, like, look, this is probably has tons of misspelling and this and this, but just please look at it for story. So I feel like story, because a lot of what I write comes from a very personal place. So I feel like I don't, there's a part of me that is vulnerable when I share, right, my work. I feel very naked when I do it. So if someone comes back with a response that isn't positive, it can feel like a very personal attack, even though I know it's not and it's part of the process. But that's what scares me, is like to be so vulnerable, to share something so personal and not have it be received well. That makes me want to cry, you know? So I think that's what a lot of times for me keeps me a little stuck. It's just fear, you know, fear of not being, my work not being loved, of, you know, fear of comments, judgments that I might not agree with, or fear that someone doesn't get it. Even with Elevate, putting that out into the world, I was, wrath with nerve the whole week before it came out. What if people watch it and just think I'm nuts? You don't know. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I know. I have a book out there, and, you know, every time anybody writes a review on Amazon, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to read this, you know, you know, kind of thing. And it's sort of the nature of the beast in a way. And
it is
what it is. And I don't know. I think a lot of us, I say this all the time, I think a lot of us who are creative in any way, shape, or form, whether you like to color with, you know, a coloring book and crayons, or draw or paint or write or direct, or whatever it is, if there's like a creative side, which I think a lot of people have, people are sometimes afraid to, you know, water that weed or water that flower, depending on which way you look at it, because people are afraid of the criticism. You know, I don't think they go with like, oh, this is going to be so well received, it's going to be fascinating. I think people are afraid of like, what are people going to say or do, or are people going to buy it, you know, the success of it. And if it isn't successful, it makes you sometimes feel even worse. I know that feeling.
It's true. And especially in today's age, I think it's even more challenging, and you have to be even more brave to be an artist today, because people are so quick to judge in this social media world we live in. People make comments behind computer screens. People say nasty, nasty things. So it's scary. It's scary to just put your work out there. Anyone from anywhere could just come on there and just say horrible things, and people do. That's the kind of world we live in these days, unfortunately. So we as artists, you know, a part of it, we have to be vulnerable, because it's that vulnerability that allows us to, you know, make art. But because we're so vulnerable, these outside attacks can really hurt if we allow them.
I agree. And the other thing, the other part of it too, is sometimes it's hard to take a creative thing and make money doing it. So a lot of us have, this is a side hustle, or, you know, I encounter a lot of people who are like, okay, this is my full-time job. I'm an accountant. Oh, and on the side, you know, here's my book, you know, or whatever it is. There's a lot of that going on. So you meet these people who are super talented and super creative, and they're all down on themselves because they're not making money doing what they actually really truly love, and it makes you feel like unsuccessful, and you know, all this spinning stuff. And I run into so much of that on Best Ever You, and I'm like, no, you're super cool, even if you like affect one human being on the planet, just chill. And it's not rationalizing it all down, but have you ever experienced that, where you've been in a moment where you've like had any kind of job plus this, or anything, any kind of stories like that that you can share?
Oh no, absolutely, and I think many artists do. I think what you're saying is so right, and I think that's the struggle of being an artist, is to finally find a way to make a living solely from your art. That's the dream. We all want to just do what we love to do. And it is a challenge. It is for most people, many people, you know, and to not have to have a side job or consult. That's one of the things that I do on the side. You know, I do consult actors and help other creators create their own content. Most people I know do have something else that they do, because, you know, especially if you're an actor, jobs are up and down. You don't know when you're going to book again. Same thing as a director, a writer, any of it, you know. It's not easy. It's not easy at all.
No, and especially when things are sort of like, I don't know what the word is, but like, you know, when you're cast for something, they're looking for something specific, and if it's not you, it's like, well, you know. You know, they might be looking for an apple and you're a pear. It's like, well, you know, I'm a pear, what do you want? You know, kind of thing. And I mean I've had that happen to me before. You know, like I love being I love doing TV commercials. I mean, I love doing TV commercials. I've been in a few, and I've, you know, I mostly did them when I was a kid, a lot of commercials as a kid. And you reach certain things where you're auditioning for something and you're like, oh, well, that's totally not me. I wish it was, though. But you can get kind of depressed a little bit on that score when it isn't you. And you're like, oh, but I really want that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think it's so important for whether you're a screenwriter, a director, an actor, to produce your own content while you're waiting to get quote-unquote picked, while you're waiting to be the person that they're looking for. In the meantime, just to keep your sanity, I find this has been very helpful for me, and it's actually one of the reasons I started creating my own content, because I wasn't working as an actor. It's like, well, what else can I do to stay creatively fulfilled? Well, I can write. You know, I have some stories to tell. Let me just start writing. And you never know what that can lead to. You know, I didn't plan to be a screenwriter. I went to drama school for acting, you know?
I love it. And I think you've really found something that just suits you. You can just feel it. And I just keep, I mean, I just, you can just see it. I can't wait for you to be up there and the Academy Award winner is. You know, even if you're one of the group, you know, and you don't win, you're in the group, I'm going to be like, yep, that's her. Called it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's your goal. I completely know what you mean, though, because, and I love the fact that you just said that. I hope everybody plays that back and hears this to find that, you know, I think what you basically said is, you know, find your own success. Find, you know, use your voice, use whatever it is. If people aren't picking you, pick yourself.
You have to pick yourself. And the good news is, what I was saying earlier about how all this social media, people can just say horrible things about you. But the good news about social media is now we can connect directly to an audience. If you're an author, you can self-publish. You can learn online marketing. You can build a list, find who your people are, sell your book, sell your paintings, your artwork, whatever it is. So even though, you know, all the social media has me a little nutty, the good side of it is that we can choose ourselves. We don't have to wait for a publisher to pick up our manuscript. We can pick it up ourselves and put it out there.
Yeah, my stack of rejection letters before I got a yes was significant on Percolate. I mean, that's a stack of letters. Boy, it is no, 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 and more no, and heck no.
No, you get it.
You know, and
yes.
I was pretty persistent.
As an actress, too. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. So I love that advice that you just gave people, you know, gave the world. And I love that you took your own advice too. I mean, you did it. Look at what you did.
Yeah.
Are you just like, yay? So let me keep asking you, do you have a little bit more time or do you have to go? I don't want to keep you if you've got to go or anything like that.
For sure. But that's the thing though. You know, and you understand, because as a commercial actor, you only had so much control of who's going to cast you, you know? So I just think it's so empowering to say, you know what, I'm going to cast myself, and I'm going to write this, and I'm going to do this. Same thing as, you know, filmmakers. You can submit to so many festivals and get rejection letters. I have hundreds of rejection letters. Are you kidding me? Same thing as an actor. So many auditions that I did in the book. That's a part of it. That's a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be the whole part of it. That's the good
thing. Yeah, and, you know, it's really interesting, too. When I was a kid, I'm probably 5'3 on a really big hair day, and I'm definitely not super thin. I mean, my big thing when I was a kid was, I mean, how big can my thighs get, because I'm a gymnast. I was a gymnast. So for me, I wanted to be like Mary Lou Retton. I was like, yes, you know,
yes.
I am, you know, pumped, you know, kind of thing. I was a gymnast. And so as I got a little older, I would go to audition for things and people would be like, her thighs are too fat or too old or too short or too this or too that. And so for me in my early 20s, it was a recipe for, okay, so I'm short, fat, ugly. You know, you went down the list of like, oh, and I have a scar here. One person be like, oh yeah, you have a scar on your face. And I'm like, seriously, that's a chicken pox scar, you know, that kind of thing, just pick you apart to the point where you feel like so small, and you have to remind yourself, okay, wait a minute. So what I did as a kid was, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to gather everybody who is under 5'5", and we're going to hold a heck of a fashion show at the mall for petites.
Oh,
way back 1,000 years ago. I mean, I'm 50
show.
Now. But I gathered people, friends and everybody, and it was like, okay, here, because most people aren't 6'2". You know, it's like they're 5'5 and under or 5'7 and under or whatever it was. And I didn't care how much you weighed. I'm like, whatever, just go for it. It's the confidence
that's
in the clothes
awesome.
And how you know, that kind of thing. So I've always been like that, and I really get a sense from watching what you have done and seeing some of the things that you've done that you're extremely like that.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that. I think it's, you have to, you can't, it's hard, you know, especially when you're young, you know, when you're being criticized or, you know, taken apart like that. But as you, you know, you grow and you build your own confidence, you learn. It's all just so silly, isn't it?
Isn't it? But you feel like, oh, I'm not selected for this. And it's like, no, you know, but you can do things that enlighten others to the fact that there are a lot of people in the world. And it doesn't have to be just one type of person for that. There are so many different people in the world. And I think we're starting in the world to sort of uncover the blessings of all the different people. Feels like more and more and more people are being cast, and you don't have to be, you don't have to have your makeup on all the time, and it's okay. And it just seems like things are easing up instead of like, oh, you're 40, you're done.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's not as bad, for sure.
Because, I mean, when I was a kid, they would hide people being, like, pregnant on TV. They'd be like, don't tell anybody, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that still does happen to a certain degree. It does a little bit. But it's not as bad, for sure.
But, I think it's really neat what you've done and the topic. I want to talk about the topic because there's, I think a lot of people, I don't know, I'm fumbling a little bit, but there's a sexual attack in the movie that you have. I want to talk about that because that is a very important topic. But I'm going to be quiet and let you talk about that. Because I keep yapping.
Yeah. Was there a specific question about that or why or?
I think we should talk about that on here because I think it's an important part of the film.
It is. I'm trying to figure out a way to talk about it to not give it away. But ultimately, we do find out that two characters in the film, you know, are linked by an attack. They don't know this, you know, they don't know each other, they don't know this about each other. But what I thought was interesting to sort of reveal is that these are completely two different type of women. You know, we judge one woman in a certain way because she's this, she's that, and then society judges the other woman in a different way. And I think when people are hurt, attacked, any of these kind of things, people cope in different ways. So my sort of thinking, I think, for this attack was to kind of show that two different ways people cope. You know, one person copes by becoming super strong, super fit, and, you know, no one's ever going to mess with her, while the other one copes by covering up and making sure she's no longer a sexual being, you know, by patting herself. Both responses to a similar incident, but the coping mechanisms very different. Does that make sense?
And well, it makes perfect sense, and I think you just covered that beautifully, without giving away too much, and with addressing that. What are people saying about that part of the movie? Have you gotten any feedback or anything about that?
What I will say, it's very interesting. People, and I guess it's because of the character I play. So people I'm finding are very open to me. People I don't know very well, they will watch the film and either directly contact me or tell me face to face, such and such a thing happened to me. I had one girl reveal at a festival. She came to me. She says, I think I'm an alcoholic. Obviously, the film doesn't have anything to do with alcoholism, but it does talk about a struggle, different people struggling in different ways. So I think she felt like I could relate to her because my character struggled with food, not alcohol, but same thing, a coping mechanism, right? A coping mechanism. So what's been interesting, some people have been very direct in telling me. I had a man tell me that he was sexually abused by a woman at work. Tell me this after watching the film. So it's been very interesting to me, just the things people will tell me, and I don't ask, but I think there's some people that just feel a sense of, you know, since I guess I was vulnerable, they feel like, okay, I'm going to tell her this so she will understand. So it's been very interesting and unexpected. People will just tell you personal things. So
yeah,
I
just did on the radio too, you know, and on and on and on about being a kid and being called this or that. Yeah, I think that's you. I think you have, like I said, created something that's incredibly relatable on a variety of levels. And that doesn't surprise me that you sparked discussion. And I hope you keep doing that. And I'm hoping we can write something for Best Ever You that invites people to do that. I think that would be really special to let people know. I mean, I think by doing what you've done, you've let people know they're not alone.
And that is literally a line in the film, as you know, at the very end. And I think that is why. But as you know, when you write something, you don't know how people are going to respond. You don't know if it's going to hit a nerve. You just know you feel it. So it's wonderful to get such response and to make people feel that they're not alone and that they can actually share these things that have they been, you know, haunted by or tortured by. I think that's wonderful. But my only hope is that they continue to share with people that can actually help them. You know, I'm not qualified. Obviously, I'm not a therapist or a spiritual healer or anything like this. But that is the hope, that some of these things are uncovered. And, again, that uncomfortableness, okay, let's go look and see what that is. We're all on our journeys. I'm definitely still on mine. Still things to work out. That's life, right?
Yeah, totally. Definitely and totally. Okay, so we're going to run out of time, but I want to make sure, is there anything that I either haven't gone on and on about or haven't asked you that you want to talk about before we go? I feel like I might have missed stuff.
No, this has been great. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to speak with you, to share with people, you know, about the film. I hope people go check it out on Amazon or iTunes. But like I said, that's been one of the most wonderful things so far. People reaching out to me in that way, and people that are opposite from me, either politically, religiously. I had a conversation just over the weekend about someone. She wrote to me and said, you know, Christians get a bad rap for this and that, but I do believe, you know, God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I said, yes, true. That's exactly what I think as well, because as you know, in the film, there's a Christian fellow in there that has some judgments. So again, that's what just thrills me. Different people, different races, different religions feel that they can talk and we can discuss this in a way that's useful, not hateful, and with love and understanding. That's the whole goal, right?
Yes, and to stress not hateful, because this was so beautifully done. And you can feel
Thank
the
you.
Love, not the hate. So, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
when you do something, so I have a question here, and Carl, I'm not going to put you on the line because we're on the end here, but I will ask your question. When you go to make a film, where do you get the funding for it?
Great question. So with my next film, it's going to be different. I'm going to look for, quote-unquote, proper financing. With this film, it was family and friends, literally. So we did fundraising in chunks, and we didn't get all of our money. So it was a lot of favors, and that's one of the reasons it took so long. We didn't get all the funding that we needed, but I'm very stubborn, and I said, I don't care. I'm going to make this anyway. And we did, but it took forever. So, yeah, funding is, you know, a lot of people crowdfund these days. That is a full-time job, so know that before you do that. Family and friends, favors. One of the things that helped me was I was able to hire my friends, you know, my family. That helped a great deal. So funding was favors, family, friends, and we did a fundraising campaign on Indiegogo that we did not meet our goal, but we moved forward regardless.
Yeah. Brianna and Alexis are in there. Who else is in the movie that we should know about? Or, you know, is there another relative in there or friend or who else do you want to talk about? Because I know I covered those two and you, and I know I skipped people here that probably you might want to talk about.
Yeah, one of the funnest parts about this, the storyline that Brianna was in, the character that was stuck in the elevator with her, that's my dad.
That's awesome.
So that was great because he's not an actor. Well, he is an actor, but he's not, you know, he's a physician. This was his first movie. I had to beg him to do it, and he's fantastic.
Well, I never would have guessed that. I thought he was an actor.
Yep, and that's what everyone says. Everyone says that.
Huh. All right. Anybody else?
Yes. Sasha Roseman is just a wonderful, wonderful actor. He played my boss in the film. He was just absolutely fantastic, as you know, because he was so horrible but wonderful at the same time. Amir Abdullah, who played the son. I mean, all my actors in my mind are wonderful. Ben Durand. Kit Williamson. I was just so blessed to be able to cast so many talented people.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, I've loved talking with you, and I wish you all the success in the world and more, and we're behind you, and what will be fun, what I always think is fun is once I get to know somebody on the radio a little bit better, I can write better content about them, their movie, their thinking, you know, all those things, and maybe you could help me. And we'll do a little bit of a more elaborate post on Best Ever You and direct people where to go, you know, on Amazon or wherever to watch.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So we'll get some promotion going. And
that would be awesome.
Not that you don't have enough, but, you know, it's kind of fun to be part of it. I love that. And we're
absolutely
all proud of you and proud of our Best Ever You gang there, Brianna and Alexis. They're awesome.
Yes.
And
Elizabeth, thank you so, so much. You're such a delight.
Well, thank you. I think the real delight is you. And maybe we can do this, too, on video. I think that would be really fun. And I think you're the type of person, too, that we could just learning curve right through it. Right?
Absolutely. And honestly, I'm more than happy, you know, after we get off the phone to talk to you about how to do that. It's super simple, I promise you.
Wouldn't that
be
fun?
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah. And I think it would take Best Ever You and this show like in a whole different new direction and have a little bit of both. I think it would be really fun to be able to see people's faces as you're talking to them, you know, like, you know, 'cause I'm always like FaceTiming with my sister and her kids or my mom or whatever. But you know, being on the radio and having video to go with it is a whole different cat. 'Cause then you have to have lighting and your hair done.
I will tell you this, that when I interview people and, you know, we do a video at the end, you feel like you know them. There's something about that eye to eye contact, right?
Yes, for sure. So
You'll love it.
I think I have
to
get over my whole hair and makeup thing. So, yeah,
yes,
it gets trickier, you know, as you get a little bit older, you know, I don't know. You know how, like, when you're in a commercial, they light you so that, like, it's like, oh, there's my light kit. You just want to carry the light kit around with you all the time.
And you can.
That's funny. All right. I'm glad you have such a funny, a cute sense of humor because it's kind of fun to joke around. And I really thank you for being on my show and sharing with us all about Elevate. And everybody, I hope. I'm going to put out links and stuff like that. The radio show doesn't have them perfectly. But do you want people to go to your website?
Yeah, elevatefilm.com. Elevatefilm.com.
Okay. Elevatefilm.com. I'm going to add that link to the show, too, because I think I have your personal website on there right now. But elevatefilm.com, and I'll put that out in Best Ever You. So, all right, everybody knows that I hate ending shows. It is my weakness, so I'm going to go ahead and end this. I do. I just want
Have a great night.
Yes, you too. And thank you for your time, your energy, and so forth. And as I always say on the show, to everybody listening and to everybody who downloads this, thank you, because we are not promoted in any conventional sense. This is all grassroots. So as we climb over 3 million downloads now, it's all you guys. And so when we have our guests on and you guys embrace them, it means the world to me and to the guests. And that's what you guys do. So when you put somebody on here with a book or a movie, I love the Best Ever You community. You guys go out there, you buy it, you watch it, you do everything. So here's another one. So elevatefilm.com. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Google. I'll get all the links and everything. But we're going to watch this, share it, and all that good stuff. And we're going to one day, all of us, see her on the big Academy Awards, getting that director one. So lots of love to everybody. Lots of love to you, Angela. And shout out to Brianna and Alexis. Thank you. And thank you to Brianna for connecting me so that Angela could be on the show. And we love you all. And thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Take care, Angela.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great night, Elizabeth. Thank you.
All right. You too. All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.